bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017 is the number. Let me get a couple things in before I hit to my top five at five. Want to remind you that presented by 1MKE, hosted by 101.7 The Truth and Good Karma Brands, is Truth Summit 2025. It's our second annual Truth Summit. It's coming Saturday, November 15th. It'll be at Thrive on King, 2153 North Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Drive here in Milwaukee. Doors open at 9:30, and from 10 to 1, we're going to have some panel discussions on education and healthcare, or maybe healthcare and education. Either way, we're going to be talking about those two things. I think those are the two things that we're going to have an open dialogue. We're going to have collaboration. We're going to talk about what we can do, very specific things we can do to change the complexion of education and health in Milwaukee. Our guests, and I'm excited to say, our guests, we're going to be talking about from high chair to higher education, rebuilding Milwaukee's educational pipeline. Dr. Terrence Robinson is the superintendent of West Allis, West Milwaukee School District. And we also have Dr. Brenda Caselius, superintendent of Milwaukee Public Schools. And on top of that, I just found out today, we have Dr. Damon Means, who is the superintendent of the Wauwatosa School District. And we'll be chopping it up, talking about how our kids, and I mean our kids, I mean Milwaukee kids, black kids, white kids, Hispanic, Asian, Muslim, Christian, all of them, how we can make sure they are secure in their education. Times are changing. AI is coming. We got tech. We got manufacturing that's about to come back to the city. We need to make sure our kids are ready. So whatever they choose, they're able to hit the ground running when they graduate from high school to either work or go to college. But, you know, nowadays, if you go to college, you got to work anyway. So, yep. So we'll be doing that. We also got Dr. Mark Kennedy, who's a gastroenterologist. You know, all the stuff that happens in your internals when you and he's also a transplant hepatologist for Aurora Healthcare. And we're hoping to get another medical doctor in to really, really dive in. Now, let me put it out there. Mark can hold his own. But we really want to dive into health and education. Both of those things, watch this, can be considered wealth. So if you think about it, if you have your health and you have education, I think you can be considered, you know, pretty wealthy. We're back up to, well, we were at 54, 40, 48, something like that, 54. 44, something like that. Whatever it is, I added up to 100, but it don't matter because we back to 50-50. Should Trump pardon Diddy? 50% say yes, 50% say no. So I'm just saying. All right, before we begin, before we do the top five and five, let me just dive in and say the Angels said, not saying it's okay, but if the Bachelor TV show that fly women from around the country to ultimately have sex with a millionaire and the record company that released Nirvana's album with the naked lady baby swinging for $1 isn't in jail for sex trafficking and child pornography, why is P. Diddy and R. Kelly, for that matter, in prison? I'm just saying. Whew. That's pretty deep. That's pretty deep. 833-212-1017 is the number.
Number five.
Y'all know what's going to happen next Monday night. I know Kyle going to be watching. Pittsburgh Steelers 4-2 return to primetime action Sunday night when they return home to host the Green Bay Packers, who are 4-1-1. That's on Sunday Night Football. Both teams sit in first place in their divisions, and this will probably be the turn of their season, because they're about midway, right? Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This will be like their seventh game. So, yeah. So, this is – well, I guess we can't count that for the Packers because they got a tie. Rodgers spent 18 seasons with the Packers, 15 as a starter, won 4 MVP awards and a Super Bowl with the team in 2011. Packers coach Matt LaFleur said his team remains solely focused on going into Pittsburgh and coming out with a win. I hope y'all do better than y'all did our last few games. Because So what is it with the Packers? Is it their defensive backs? They're DBs. But they're getting smoked in that middle part, right? So y'all need either better linebackers, better corners? I don't know. They got a great defense. We can get the offense running. Or is it a better offense and a lackluster defense? Either way, both need to show up. And personally, this is just me. Personally, I would love to see the defense sack Aaron Rodgers. Like, instead of saying hello on the sidelines or during the warm-up, sack him and then speak to him. Hey, Aaron, how you doing? Hey, what's going on? I was never a fan of his. Even when he played for the Packers, I was never really a fan. Anyway.
Number four.
From BlackEnterprise.com, the Barack Obama Presidential Center, years in the making, now has a date set for opening. Located in his honorary hometown of Chicago, facility will open on the city's south side in spring of 2026. The Obama Foundation announced the latest update, offering a virtual preview of the sprawling campus. Former President Obama shared footage of the construction of the Presidential Center, and it'll be a global center for change. It'll engage visitors within and beyond Chicago with a 19-acre space, immersive and educational, communal. It'll be all those things. The center will focus on the legacy of the first Black U.S. president and the first lady, with plans to host formal and communal engagements, workshops, exhibits, all that stuff, to bring people to my hometown, the Windy City. It features also a diverse garden, athletic and event facilities, world-class museum, and, of course, it's the Presidential Library. So I think that is going to be pretty cool, and I look forward to visiting my hometown, maybe even taking some of y'all down yonder. Maybe we can make it a trip and go visit the Obama Presidential Library.
Number three.
So from Fox6Now.com, for more than 2 months, the McGovern Park Senior Center has sat empty, and Northside seniors in Milwaukee have nowhere to gather and no answers on when they can return. The center first closed in August after historic flooding. You remember that. In September, the Milwaukee County's Department of Health and Human Services reported that inspectors found mold and unsafe air quality inside, and so they shut it down. Well, that's a little vague for some of the seniors. And so, I mean, We're just speculating. Is it going to open, or are they going to close it for sure? If it is, what day are they going to open? They said, we're seniors. We're not slow. So you can come here and talk to us and tell us something. Julia Cooper Feltz, another longtime visitor, says the silence feels like a betrayal. She said, I worked all my life, and this is what I get. I don't appreciate it. With McGovern closed, many seniors have been forced to attend one of the county's four other centers, but the travel is inconvenient, especially with winter approaching. And some say the other facilities are already overcrowded. One person said, I'm not driving this far to come here for a couple hours because we don't spend as many hours here as we did at McGovern because that was our home. I miss getting together. I miss seeing the people that I saw every day.
Number two.
From JS Online, layoffs are happening. Believe it or not, Molson Coors is planning to lay off 9% of its salaried workforce, which is roughly 400 people. They announced that on yesterday. The company plans to make the cuts by the end of December. It's unclear of how many, if any, of these positions are in Wisconsin. This reduction does not include hourly or union workers. Company also stated that some of the positions were already open. New president and CEO Raul Goyal, who took over the position in September, said it was not an easy decision for the company. You sure? I bet the bottom line looks good, though.
Number one.
From 620 WTMJ, our sister station, they're reporting a teenager is dead after a shooting on yesterday night on the city's northwest side. That's according to Milwaukee police. People say three people were shot around 10 p.m. near 79th and Hampton, and a 16-year-old. Get that, a 16-year-old on the scene died. 17 and 18-year-old were also shot, but both were taken to the hospital but are expected to survive. A recent string of gun violence across Milwaukee. Six people have been killed in shootings just over the past 3 days. Officers say the Monday night shooting is still under investigation. And, of course, anyone with information is asked to contact Milwaukee Police at 414-935-7360. And if you want to remain anonymous, contact Crime Stoppers at 414-224-TIPS.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Hit it. Much bone, brother. How you feel, man?
I feel all right.
I call your name. I don't want no people to know you're in here. How you feel, fella? Hey, yeah. Sure getting down. Look at him. Ha. We're gonna have a bunk good time. We're gonna have a bunk good
time. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Somebody say NBA young boy, Larry Hoover pardon was a wink and a smile. A wink and a smile for what? Then Sincere reminded me the person I was talking about, the comedian, was Tiffany Haddish. So let me see what she did. I think she got caught in the car, like she fell asleep. If I remember correctly, but why don't I just Google it and find out? Haddish is not currently drinking alcohol because she has been sober since her November 2023 DUI arrest. She stated she was never going to do that again except for a possible exception if she gets engaged. Before this, she had a previous DUI in Atlanta and was in the process of dealing with those charges. After her November 2023 arrest, she has been sober, credited with her improving her physical and mental well-being. She says it's been positive. January the same year, she was arrested for DUI in Atlanta. Pleaded no contest to reckless driving stemming from November 2023 arrest in Los Angeles, and the original misdemeanor charges were dropped. But you know who I was thinking about? Halle Berry. In 2000, Halle Berry was involved in a crash in West Hollywood after running a red light and then resulted in a misdemeanor charge of leaving the scene of an accident, of a crash. She pleaded no contest, was sentenced to 3 years probation and a $13,500 fine and $200 of community service. Berry was, she sustained a forehead gash that required stitches, and the other driver, Hatel Raithatha, suffered a broken wrist and neck and back injuries. She rented a Chevy Blazer, ran a red light on Sunset Boulevard. I've been on that boulevard before in West Hollywood. Collided with another car and the other driver. Left the scene before authorities arrived. She later pleaded no contest to misdemeanor charge of leaving the scene of an accident. She got 20 stitches on her head. And she was sentenced to those 3 years. Of course, there's a civil lawsuit which was settled out of court. Interesting. I guess when you got money, you get that, right? Or she just had a good lawyer. She could afford a good lawyer. Matthew said, and since Dr. Kim wants to bring up equality in sentencing, that kid who got parole for sexually assaulting a woman, he should have gotten the time he would have got if he wasn't rich and white. Dun, 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 dun. Sincere Ronnie Ray Real said that's the way courts are set up, meaning if it's applied in one case, then it sets a precedent for all as well. No, that's not true. That's not true. They have sentencing guidelines, and the judge can go anywhere within the box. So it's what the judge decides. And it varies by state. Yes, it does. So some states where it might be bad, other states, you might go, hey, you know, no harm, no foul. I mean, it might still be against the law, but Matthew, I'm not going to talk about what? I'm going to talk about what? Oh, y'all talking about sports. Okay. Wow. Interesting. So somebody just brought up Brandi Norwood. But let's look at that. Let's take a peek at that. In December 2006, Brandi Norwood was involved in a fatal multi-vehicle crash on the 405. Ugh, hate that. Her Land Rover rear-ended a vehicle driven by someone else and then hit another car and slid into the center divider before being hit by a fourth car. The person she hit died from her injuries, and although the California Highway Patrol initially recommended charges and Brandi was initially at fault, prosecutors declined to charge due to insufficient evidence to prove negligence beyond a reasonable doubt. Brandi also faced multiple lawsuits that were settled out of court. And so it sounds like she hit a car driven by Awatef, and I can't say the last name, I can't pronounce it, which was then hit by another car and then slid into the divider before being hit by a fourth car. So if you can't tell which one of those killed her, then you can't blame Brandi for killing her. And the DA looked at that and went, well, it's not like she hit her and then she hit a wall and died. It's not like she hit her and she hit another car and died, maybe partial. But had she hit her and then she died without hitting anything else or being hit by anyone else, it would have been Brandy's fault. But if Brandi hit the person and then the person was hit by another car, then they hit another car, slid into the center divider before being hit by a fourth car, you don't know what killed her or whether she was dead after Brandi hit her or whether she was dead after the fourth car hit her. And if you can't tell, you can't get charged. You can't get found liable for something. Now, the fact that she had 1% liability And I'm not a lawyer, so. But the fact that she was on the road, you got at least 1% towards you because you decided to drive. You decided to do it. It's like your door, right? Like, can you actually, is your insurance company got to put your door back on your car because you literally operate your door? So if you open your door and leave it open and somebody hits it, it's literally on you. There's no other way. You know what kills me is when I see people driving and they're on the passenger side. They're on like Fond du Lac Avenue. Cars are going 45, 50 miles an hour and they have their car door open and they're pulling their baby out. I'm like, what are you doing? Go over to the passenger side on the sidewalk and get your baby out. You're in traffic holding a baby with the door open with cars and trucks and buses blowing by. And I'm thinking to myself, wow. And if that person got hit, that door would come off, hit them, knock them either into the car or out into traffic. And Lord knows what would happen. But I don't think people care. I think they just do what they do. I don't know. I know they had a good lawyer, though. 833-212-1017 is the number. It's not that she wasn't charged, right? They couldn't prove she killed her. Like, it's kind of straightforward. Because you don't know what you're talking about, so that's the point. Okay, y'all, stop. No back and forth, or I'm going to bounce both of y'all from the chat. So quit it. No being mean. You have to show kindness in the chat. You can't just be nice. Not really a city girl. I can see if Brandy was hit and that caused her to hit someone else who subsequently died by being hit by someone else. But you don't know when she died. That's the problem. It's not that she died. When did she die? When Brandy hit her, is that what killed her? Did she die when the second car hit her, the third car hit her, the fourth? Like, we don't know. And if you can't prove it, you can't prove it. What they could prove is that had Brandy not hit her, the accident wouldn't have happened, so you got to pay. So you know the insurance company paid, right? Okay. 833-212-1017 is the number. Uh-oh. We have a change. Should Trump pardon Diddy? 56% say no. 44% say yes. Interesting. Very, very interesting. When we come back, y'all know who Marvin Winans is? Pastor Marvin Winans, gospel singer from the group The Winans, pastors a church in Detroit, Michigan. Black folks is mad at him.
More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 33 minutes after the hour. And believe it or not, 45 degrees. Showers are in the area, so it'll be raining until about 6:30 tonight. Feels like 39 degrees. Everybody kept going. I called somebody today and they say it's cold outside. I'm like, you're in the house. Like, what? It's still cold outside. Like, you should put some clothes on? I don't know. Like, dude, like, I get it. Hey, y'all, I got some breaking news.
Breaking news, and I chose to do it here.
All right, here's the deal. Believe it or not, I've got two breaking news stories for you right now.
Number one.
So the... what are we calling it? The Lounge Element. The Milwaukee Licensing Committee has voted to suspend their license. And so that just came over. I can't say over the wire because that's old school. That just came over. Element Lounge, which is a great lounge. The committee voted to revoke their license. And now it goes to the full Common Council. That's as of today, following a string of violent incidents tied to the Water Street Bar, including a deadly shooting this summer. The decision came after a four-hour hearing where dozens of community members and business leaders testified. The vote still needs approval from the Common Council, which is scheduled for November 4th. Comes after Milwaukee Police Department filed a revocation complaint citing multiple shootings connected to the lounge. You might remember in June, officers responded. This is from Fox6Now.com, by the way. Officers responded to a shooting in a parking structure across the street involving patrons who had just left Element Lounge. In July, six people were shot outside the club in a drive-by, and two of them died. And as if that wasn't enough,
number two,
Milwaukee Police Union has reached a tentative agreement in their contract negotiations with the city. Milwaukee Police Association and the city of Milwaukee have reached a tentative agreement on a new police contract covering most of the city's law enforcement officers. Agreement was announced through a joint statement from Cavalier Johnson and the union. The contract requires approval from both union members and the Common Council before taking effect. Financial terms and other details of the agreement were not disclosed if finalized. The voluntary agreement would conclude ongoing arbitration proceedings between the two parties. The Police Association President Alex Ayala has repeatedly said their officers have continued to serve the community without a contract since 2022. Dude, we went 5 years without one. Stop crying. In late July, the police union publicly shared the city's final offer, a retroactive three-year deal starting from 2023. Offering a 9% total increase compared to the union's demand of 12.75, which I thought was too high and ridiculous. The union at the time called the city's offer insulting, prompting a response from Mayor Cavalier Johnson, as he well should have. You already know the city's short. You're already getting taxed to death. And now you want to pile on 12.75% increase. Dude, stop. Stop. You decided to be a police officer, and if you're not happy with the way you're getting paid and the amount of money you're getting paid, quit. Pack up. Write your in the matter of or memo or whatever you're writing these days to the chief of police and tell him you quit. It's tough for everybody. And law enforcement is a tough job. But guess what? Guess what? You ready? You signed up for it. I'm just saying. You signed up for it. And so if you signed up for it, that's what you get. 833-212-1017 is the number. Let me check this talk and text line. How about people standing in the street, period, from their cars, no matter what side of the curve is on, just standing on there. You know what scares me? I saw a kid running across the median today around near Washington High School. And he was on the median, and he was standing on the curb. Now, he could have slipped and fallen either way and got hit by a car. And then the family would have been screaming and hollering about, oh, my God, you hit and killed my baby. Why you killed my baby? Well, your baby shouldn't have been there. Should have been in a crosswalk or at the light. But they're too busy doing stuff they're not supposed to do. And so you do realize that when you do that, you put yourself at risk. Because now you're in the roadway where you're not supposed to be. So if you get hit by a car, it's going to be tough to call yourself. You're going to sue somebody when you caused the accident. Can you sue them? Like, can I sue you for me hitting you? I wonder. I wonder. I'm lucky I'm not a lawyer. Because I'd be suing people left and right. Suing you, which isn't right. I don't think it's right, but you know, that's just me. From Blavity.com, Pastor Marvin Winans is under fire after scolding a church member about the amount of money she gave. The bizarre moment captured on video happened at Detroit's Perfecting Church during their day of giving. Winans was outraged when a woman came up short of the donation he asked for. That's per the Atlanta Black Star. The confusion at Perfecting Church happened when Winans asked members to donate $1,000 plus one. While Winans continued to repeat the phrase, many of the members approached the center aisle and gave two separate $1,000 donations. There was, however, one woman who came forward with $1,235. I'm giving in faith and standing in unity with the vision of perfecting church, sowing this seed of $1,000 plus $235 and receiving the blessings to come, the woman said when she gave her donation. Winans was quick to correct the woman when she came up short. He said, there's only $1,200. Well, after the woman acknowledged that, and after the woman acknowledged that she is short, Winans continued to press her. You're not listening to what I'm saying. If you have $1,000 plus $1,000, $1,000 plus one is $1,001, not two. While the woman vowed to bring the remaining $800 eventually, Winans wasn't satisfied and said, well, that ain't what I asked you to do. As the video of Winans scolded the woman went viral, many people expressed their outrage over his attitude. One person who posted in thread said Winans is one of the many pastors who are part of a troubling trend happening at churches. You scolded a woman for giving $1,200 instead of $2,000. That, I wish somebody would tell me they won't. I better get in some money. I have never, ever, 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 ever been at a church where the pastor demanded I give money. Ever. You can ask, but I give from the goodness of my heart. And if the goodness of my heart say don't give, I ain't giving. That's just weird. That's just bizarre. Interesting. 833-212-1017 is the number. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I got to check this Diddy poll when we come back.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017 is the number. Sincere say, Pastor Winans was living up to his name, Winan. Wow. B. Bruce said, it's not bizarre. It's not bizarre, interesting, or weird, Dr. Ken. It's messed up, that arrogant, should be removed from, I don't know what that means. Be a little clearer. The jury saw through his, okay, that's something different. They blame everyone, but okay. It's weird when people have their own conversation about somebody else's show during my show, because I don't know what you're talking about. But anyway, 833-212-1017 is the number. Remember, you can stream and watch us live on YouTube at 1017thetruth.com. Make sure you subscribe and hit the notification bell. Well, I was just notified of the poll. Should Trump pardon Diddy? 55% say no, 45% say yes. It's still close. It is really not. But that's a 10-point spread. I say pardon him. You pardoned everybody else. Why not? Don't pardon him. Commute his sentence, but don't pardon him. Give him a commutation. You know, give him, you know, he's still a felon, so stuff he can't do, stuff he can't say, and just give him his time. He already got like a year off anyway, so I don't know what they're doing. He got like a year off, so yeah. 833-212-1017 is the number. Al, you're on the award-winning 1017 Truth.
I think he should go on and just go on and pardon. I think he should go on and pardon him. I mean, he pardoned everybody else that's taking innocence and stealing booty. So you might as well pardon Diddy.
Okay. But what about you?
Thank you.
You think he should like, now when you say pardon, should he be pardoned or should he get commutation, just let out of jail?
I think he should get pardoned and he'll get his record expunged.
Oh, God. I mean, no. Come on, dude.
I'm just saying because, I mean, well, the only reason I'm saying that because people who have done even worse, he's letting them walk and he's pretty much acting like it's okay. I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand the severity of what's done, but he didn't pardon people who did way worse.
Who did way worse? Who did he pardon the people that did way worse?
Well, I know he made it for. I mean, I'm getting tongue tied. I know from what I was seeing, he made it easier to prosecute priests who want to touch on kids. You know, he's okay with taking the definition of incest and rape off the book. So I'm like,
I don't remember that at all.
Okay, well, I do, but he should go on and just pardon him and expunge his record. I mean, he's doing it for everybody else who's doing things out of violence and doing things that's way worse.
So where'd you read that? Like, where'd you get that from, that he wanted to take incest and all that off the books?
Well, that's in South Carolina. They want to remove the definition
of incest. Well, that's South Carolina. That ain't the federal government.
And rape. But it's still bad. I mean, if he was against it, he would stop it.
The president can't go in and change law in a state?
Dr. King, I understand that, but think about this. If kids come here through incest, they're going to have three eyes and four arms. That's going to put a hurting on the health care system.
That's all we're worried about is the health care system, not the kid?
Well, I'm just saying, why would you want to bring a kid here with that? Because they're going to need health care, and he's trying to take it away. So why would you even want that to happen? Or a 9-year-old girl who's going to have a C-section. What?
You be connecting dots that don't make no sense to me sometimes.
I just try to use logic and just try to use
I can't see anything logical in that.
But I'm just saying, why would you want to bring a kid here through incest? You know you can't mix the same bloodline. That ain't never did good. You know that family in West Virginia, they all, they can't even talk because they so messed up. Think about the health care they're going to need.
All right. Thank you much.
All right. Have a good day, y'all.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
833-212-1017 is the number. Do you care what celebrities and politicians think about how you should vote? I mean, like, can a celebrity say, hey, I think you should vote for this person? And then you vote for that person. It didn't work for it didn't work for presidential candidate and Vice President Kamala Harris. All those folks that stood up and said vote for her, she didn't win. Well, from blackenterprise.com, Barack Obama is stepping up to boost the Democratic Party with big endorsements for Virginia and the New Jersey governor's races. He stepped up to endorse candidate Mickey Schirrell and Abigail Spanberger in the New Jersey and Virginia high-stakes governor's races that are coming next month. In two digital ads, the two-term president highlighted the importance of both races as the Republican Party has been moving with a vengeance with redistricting goals and anti-DEI clauses. In his ad, endorsing Spanberger for the Virginia seat, Obama labels the state's November 4th primary election as a race of some of the most important in the country. And with GOP policies, he lists how tariffs are raising the cost for everybody living, for Virginians, and how Spanberger will fight for everyone, not just big corporations and the wealthy, even though they're the ones that probably gave her the money. I'm just saying. So in New Jersey, Obama issued his support to Schirrell, who was up against former Republican assembly member and President Donald Trump endorsed Jack. I can't even say that name. It's an Italian name. Cattarelli. That's according to Associated Press. He highlights his friend's impressive resume, knowing the importance of service after serving as a federal prosecutor and Navy helicopter pilot. Also holding the title of mom, the former president enlists Schirrell's integrity, grit, and commitment to service as what is needed in today's leader. But would former President Obama's endorsement sway you to vote for any of them? Or if you didn't want to vote for the person, would it sway you to then vote for him? Because I'm interested because, you know, we're coming up to midterms, and that means that there are going to be a lot of pushback in terms of how we're trying to make changes and all these things, and it's interesting. It's interesting. It's interesting. 833-212-1017 is the number. It went up. 57% say no. 43% say yes to Trump pardoning Diddy. Woo! I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Not really a city girl. Say he's right about incest deformities. Well, yeah. EVC said, can't no politician, celebrity, not even my own parents tell me who to vote for. I don't care about what nobody thinks about how I vote. You mean anybody? Anyway. He said, I ain't visiting Obama's library. It's in my parents' neighborhood, so that's how much they sway. I'm going to the library. I'm going to go see it. I'm going to be there day one. Happy birthday, not really a city girl. How many years is it? You only like 16 years old, maybe 20, right? You got it. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Tory Lowe's show is coming up next, and I'll be hanging out. I'll be back in about 22 hours. Thank you, DJ Brother Z. Appreciate you. God bless. Take care. It's raining. Be careful. I'm out.
Be quiet.